Welcome to a very special Intentional Living. It's Good Friday. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. Much of the staff is off today as we focus on the great salvation that Jesus brings. But you can still call our toll-free line and leave your story. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and we wish you a very great Easter weekend as well. It is Good Friday. I can remember as a child always wondering, why did they call it good? Why would they call a day when Jesus was crucified good? Well, as I grew up and matured and gave my life to Christ and recognized that the goodness is the fact that God loved us. It's because of his love, because of the fact he was willing to sacrifice, that it is indeed a good day. And this is the most sacred and most special of all of the celebrations of the year this weekend, as today we think of his death and the burial, and of course Easter is coming, the good news. Without Easter, there really would be just the death of another man. It would just be another story. But because of Easter, because of his resurrection, which we believe and accept by faith, we have hope. And during the program today, we're going to have some reading through the Easter story with our own team. Dawn, Stephen, Lori, and Steve will be sharing from the story, and then also some testimonies of God's power coming through today as well.
The disciples went into the city and prepared for the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done."
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend."
Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
You're listening to a special Good Friday version of Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Hi, my name is Leslie. Since the time I was 8, My father passed away, and within a year, from severe abuse by my mother's multiple boyfriends. And that caused me to have an abandonment issue, not only with my father dying, but my Heavenly Father also. So as I have grown, I've noticed that I've had a lot of problems, not only from my past abuse and so forth, but I married a husband who was an extremely abusive, addictive husband. So in my car about 6 months ago, I had a screaming conversation with God where I was very angry and just let all that pent-up frustration and said, if you're real and you know me and you want to be in my life, then you show me who you are and you show me where I cannot unquestionably not know that it's you. Well, I turned on the radio and guess who I heard? I heard you talking about intentional living, and it was just like a miracle. I got waves of chills and goosebumps. I now know that was the Holy Spirit, and I was extremely moved by that. And I am going to be baptized on my 47th birthday, which is this coming Sunday.
Wow, good for you, and thank you. Congratulations on your new faith walk, and we're glad that we could play a part and that the Holy Spirit was there in the midst of all of it, because He does move, doesn't He? He really does. On this Good Friday, as we remember the death and burial of Christ, the good news we hang on to is that Easter is coming. And one of the things that we prioritize here in our team is we get together either by department or the whole organization at least once a week, and we pray together as a team. Have, you might call, a staff chapel time where I may do some teaching or one of the other staff will share. And we got together earlier this week for this Easter week, and I read some from the book of John, read some of the Easter story, and we shared a little bit and talked. And then we passed the microphone around and had staff just share a little bit about the significance of Easter and what one thing Easter has made a difference in their life, what it means to them. And what we heard was so good, we asked for permission to share it with you today. As a staff, we celebrate Easter in the goodness of God's intentional love for us.
What does Easter mean to you? What has God done as a result of Easter in your life?
It's simply absolutely the assurance. For me, it's not a hope. It's an assurance because He did rise. That grave is empty, and that makes a difference in the way I live.
Christ did not die for me symbolically. He died for me literally. When He died for me, God made a judicial decision that anyone that would step forward and accept what Christ had done for him by faith, God made a judicial decision that person would have eternal life.
That Easter is not just lilies and warm fuzzies, but it's the passion of the Christ. I think that's why that movie was so popular, because it really depicted the reality of what Jesus went through. And so Easter for me is the reality of Jesus' sacrifice for me. And when you come to grips with the reality of what Jesus did, that makes the reality of the life that we can live in Him so much more impactful.
My in-laws are Messianic believers, so they celebrate the Passover Seder. That's an interesting word picture, symbolic look at that covering of the blood over the doorpost and the passing of the angel of death over that house. It's not that God sees it and then steps away from that house. It's that God is a protection of that home against the angel of death. And so Christ is that same protection for us, just kind of an example of His blood was shed for us and poured over that doorpost of our own souls to protect us from death.
He who is worthy was made worthless, so I who am worthless can be made worthy.
Boy, that's refreshing to hear the staff share with us the good news of Easter. And I hope it refreshes your heart as well, because as a team, we love God, we want to serve Him, and that's why we're here at the Intentional Living Center every day to be reminded that we are here to help you on your walk with Christ. That's our calling on this planet. When we get to the end of our lives, to know that we've played our part in being a mentor, a coach, an encourager for you, and we're glad to be able to do it thanks to those who pray for us and, of course, our monthly members who support the ministry that make it possible. We appreciate it. You know, if you have a story of how the resurrection has made a difference in your life, how Christ has made a difference in your life, we'd love to hear it. Call our story line at 888 888 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Some of our team today reading through the story of Easter. Let's hear more during this Passion Week.
Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you."
Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea," Jesus said, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the Stone Pavement. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
You're listening to a special Good Friday version of Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Coming up, our staff will continue to share more scripture on the Passion of Christ. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Dr. Randy.
You know, on this Good Friday, I'm thinking of one of the last prayers, one of the last times that Christ we have recorded of him praying in John 17. And he had three prayers. First, he prayed about himself. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." And then secondly, he prayed for his followers, his disciples. He said, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." And then looking to the future, Christ was thinking of us in the 21st century, I think, because in that same passage in the 20th verse, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who yet will believe in me through their word. And that's the power that God loves us. He cares for us here in this 21st century. It's his passion for you to know him personally. And if you don't, that you would come today to accept this Savior who gave his life for you on the cross. We call it Easter because he loves you so much. You can find out more at our website, theintentionallife.com. We have a booklet under resources called Your First One Thing. Read it. It's our gift to you. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. We use a lot of words around here, words to encourage you for your faith and for your life.
Hey, have you cleaned out your email lately? Hi, this is Stephen Davis for Intentional Living. Every couple of weeks, when I'm up to speed, I send out a one-page study that I've just written on a passage in the Bible. I've got a few dozen people that I send this to who are willing to be bothered by me. Today it struck me that I need to update my email list. Some have moved, maybe retired or whatever, but there were two names that stopped me in my tracks. One was my friend Buddy, the other was my friend Gareth. Both of them had died of cancer just a couple months ago, and I started to weep. And I was thinking, you know, death stinks. There were families left behind, friends, acquaintances, and for some, there was a lot of unfinished business. The good news is that Buddy and Gareth love Jesus and are with him right now. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Corinthians. Listen to this secret truth. We shall not all die, but when the last trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised, never to die again, and we shall all be changed. For what is mortal must be changed into what is immortal. What will die must be changed into what cannot die. So, my question for you is, have you exchanged that which will die for that which cannot die? Have you exchanged mortality for immortality? The process is pretty simple. The result is astounding, wondrous, and everlasting. If you'd like to find how to be changed forever, go to theintentionallife.com, click on resources, then select My First One Thing. For Intentional Living, I'm Stephen Davis.
You're listening to a special Good Friday version of Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
You know, we've heard the story as followers of Christ. We've read it. We hear it preached on Sunday. over the years. Maybe for the first time you're hearing it today, but it's fresh and new every time because it's the power of truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the scripture says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the finale of the Passion story is still coming. We'll get to that here in just a moment from our Intentional Living Center and from our staff. Appreciate them reading this story to keep it in focus, because ultimately, without God's word, we're kind of lost. And it's because of the truth from Scripture that brings us back to God's intentional love for us. And that's why we do this every day here at the Intentional Living Center. We'll get to that, the rest of the story in a moment. First, let's check in on the phone with Joe from Texas. Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. So as we look ahead to Easter, tell me, what's your number one thing?
It had to be knowing Jesus.
What does that mean to you? What does that mean?
Well, I was a pretty hardcore person until I came to know the Lord. And with me, I came to know the Lord. 9 months later, my wife came to me and she told me that she didn't know me. She was crying. I knew she wanted to come to know Jesus as I came to know him.
Hmm.
And it greatly impacted my life, my whole family.
What brought you to Christ, Joe?
You know what? I lived a pretty tough, hardcore life, and I lived between, you know, a lot of people laugh, but I lived between the church and the bar.
Hmm.
And I don't know, but I think I had a lot of the Christians praying for me. And I felt like I had to go to church one day. And I walked in there, and I heard that pastor preach a sermon. It was just like if it was meant for me.
Hmm.
And I walked that aisle, and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin, and I was like, I knew like that burden was lifted off of me. It was like, I wept like a little girl. It was amazing. And I couldn't get enough of God's word after that. And it just was life-changing.
So that became a life changer in your life. You lived it out. You didn't sound like you didn't preach it. You didn't nag. You just lived it out in your marriage and your family.
Oh, if there was a mistake to be made as a newborn Christian, I made it.
Hmm.
And, but I my pastor was such a good man, and I wanted my wife to come to know the Lord, and he said, Joe, well, you got to love her. You got to leave her alone and love her. So I took his advice, and I just left her alone and prayed for her and did everything I could to just love her.
Good for you.
And it was life-changing. What was going on at that time is, you know, because I cheated on my wife, and I didn't know her at the time, but she was cheating too. Mm-hmm. And 9 months later, she came home and she was crying, and she said she don't know me, and she wanted to come to know Jesus, and it was, and I forgave her as I was forgiven, you know, and it was just, our whole life has been totally, dramatically changed.
Mm. There, my friends, is when people say, oh, how do you, this Christianity or knowing Christ, prove it. That's about as close as you're going to get. You see a changed life. You see someone who's been radically transformed. You can call that an emotional hype. You can call that self-talk, happy talk, whatever. But a transformed life is the best evidence to me that what God teaches is real. All right, let's get back to the Passion story of Stephen, Lori, Dawn, and Steve Reed from the Gospels of Mark and Luke.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph,
So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
Boy, this has been great today to be focused on the truth of God's sending his son to die for us. But the question is, what's the point of all this? You know, I mean, why? Because he loves us. Let me read some more from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and of which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers on the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." It's interesting that after Christ died on the cross and came back to life, that he appeared to over 500 believers. It's interesting that his ministry was over and that he was now commanding those of us who are followers, his followers, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to those who are perishing, that they can come to know Jesus Christ personally. Maybe today you need to know him personally and your heart has been stirred and you've been drawn as you've heard the story and been reminded of God's intentional love for you. Paul tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the truth. Accept that by faith. Ask him into your life. "Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need you. I ask you to come into my life today to be my Savior for all of eternity. I give you access to every part of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me." Tell someone about the decision you made this weekend. Go to church and grow in your walk with Christ. And tell us so we can pray for you as well from the Intentional Living Center. Have a great Easter weekend.